Welcome, everyone. Thank you for joining us. This is Rita Moore, psychic medium, and we have our very special guest again tonight, Becky Hughes. Hi, Becky. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing just fine.
Good.
Just to put a little, how would you say, brief intro, what we don't do is medical questions. And other than that, we are pretty much open to anything and everything within reason, of course. Right, Becky?
Yes.
Exactly. So anyway, tonight, well, last time we talked, we did speak about change and then eventually went into what do you call vibrational matches. And we're going to get a little bit more into that tonight. And so I guess what I would like to start out with, though, Becky, is if anyone would like to contact you for a reading, how would they do that?
You would contact me by readingsbybecky@gmail.com.
Great. Okay. And if you want readings by me, readamore.org, and the, you know, the contact information is all on there. So with that out of the way, we're going to go pretty much continue with what we were doing last week, or 2 weeks ago, actually. There's been a lot of, I guess, talk about, you know, for a long time now about the law of attraction. And recently, or at least in my own understanding, there's been also a lot of talk about vibrational matches. And the basic concept or idea is that if it feels good, do it. You're in line with what you want. So to start with, I'd like to explain what is meant. Well, we all know what emotions are, but I think feelings are a little bit more sketchy. So when we say if it feels good, do it, that's not necessarily true because let's describe feelings, okay? When I say, let's say I'm driving down the street and I want to make a right turn and something says, ooh, I have a feeling or a gut feeling that I shouldn't go down that road. And that's more of an intuitive, inner knowing response. But then there's the other feeling that you wake up in the morning and say, I really don't feel like going to work today. They're both described as feelings, but they're very different and totally different energies. And the feelings that I believe that we want to get to is more of the feelings that are from an intuitive sense. We're sensing something, okay? Does that make sense to you, Becky?
Yes, it does. I have the right feelings with it.
And, you know, then we have to look at, you know, the emotions, because I do believe that emotions are barometers. And let's face it, how many of us have, you know, thought about winning the lottery, things of that nature? Oh, wow, what a feeling, what a great emotion. So now you have all this happy emotion built up, so why is it not happening? You know, and that's hopefully some of the answers that we, you know, will give tonight. On a spiritual level, a lot of people define the higher energies as the happy, lighter, more, you know, we're very connected with the divine, and the lower energies as depression and sadness and, you know, those kinds of things or those kinds of emotions, we tend to label them as negative. And we believe that the higher energies, the ones that are higher up the scale, are the better energies and that the lower ones are the negative energies. In reality, they're one energy. It's one source, and how we utilize it or how we filter it through our mind gives it the label as positive or negative, okay? Because I don't care what anyone says, you cannot layer positive thoughts on top of negative ones. I mean, that would be like saying, ooh, I made an egg salad sandwich, and yeah, but you made them with rotten eggs. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
It's going to stink, you know? So no matter what you try to do, if the ingredients, so to speak, are not quite there with it, you're not going to get the desired outcome. What's interesting, though, is that on a quantum level, a higher vibration would technically mean that something is operating with a lot of intensity at a great frequency, and on a quantum level, a lower energy would be something that operates slower with less intensity. Now, if you look at the energy, so to speak, that manifests as depression, okay, you look at it, there, and people who are depressed will go into, keep going down and down and down and down. They kind of spiral. Why is that? Well, because on a quantum level, there's a lot of intense energy wrapped around whatever is putting that or them into that spiral. See? So just because we designate spiritual energy as a high energy, that's not necessarily so. Because on a quantum level, it's almost the opposite. Anything or any time that you put your mind to something that has intensity, that has frequency, it will manifest a lot more quicker than if you don't do it. Now, let me clarify that a little bit further. When you try to do something and you're really focused on it and that's all you think about and you're wondering why it's not working, okay, why you're not getting the desired result, is because your intensity and your emotion is totally wrapped around the not having it. And that's what's going to manifest even more, okay? On the other hand, what has to happen is a shift in attitude. It's a looking at the situation or whatever's causing this from a totally different perspective. And I've always heard the word, you know, if you want altitude, you got to change your attitude. And that rings, I think, very true with energy, you know. And so it's like, for instance, you get, let's say you have a person, a woman, that maybe she's a widow, and maybe she's gone to church, and she's prayed to God, send me a man, send me a good man or someone, this, that, and the other, and she wants a partner, she wants this, that, and the other. And lo and behold, within a reasonable or whatever amount of time, an individual does come into her life. And what plays out is this. He tells her everything she wants to hear, he romances her, he courts her, and this woman feels as if she stepped into heaven. Well, maybe six months down the road, she's found out that he's wiped out her bank account. Well, does that necessarily mean that her prayers or her energies or whatever were not answered? No, it doesn't mean that. She had what she wanted for a while. And so I think what we also have to look at is when we're creating something, we also have to look at how long is it going to hold in that vibrational pattern. How that relationship in and of itself deteriorated is just how it deteriorated. For a while, it could have been 10 years that she was in this relationship and that held into that vibrational pattern, and then eventually it went by the wayside. The same is true for couples that get together and they go through what is called the honeymoon phase. We all know that doesn't last, you know, because it can't be held in a certain vibrational pattern simply because we're constantly changing. Our thoughts change, our wants change, and our desires change. And so when we want to look at what I would call the art of manifestation, it's not so much looking at it, oh, I'm depressed, so I'm not going to manifest this. No, not at all. You probably will manifest a little bit more of depression. It's just about thinking to yourself, whatever's causing this, or me feeling or having the emotion of this, how can I tweak this? How can I change this to be a better expression of what I'd like it to be? Is it that simple? Technically, it can be. But I can guarantee you when you're in a very deep depression, it's almost like you pull yourself into the hole and that's it. Nothing interests you. You don't feel any hope. You don't care. And ultimately, no matter what, it's still up to you at some point in time to make up your mind to say, this is not good for me anymore. This is not getting me what I want. It's like even in relationships, when someone breaks up and one party is heartbroken and they're crying and they're doing their thing while the other person has already started dating someone, you know, you might say to yourself, well, what good is me, you know, me or whomever crying doing? Is it bringing that person to me any closer? No, not at all. But it is a method by which we need to release the hurt. It's a necessary process, but it doesn't mean that we have to stay in that process for 10 years. You know,
exactly.
It means that you have to give yourself that window of opportunity that says, you know, if Jesus could die and be raised in 3 days, surely I can get over this in 2 weeks, at least the part that makes me go on with my life, at least the functional part, you know. So we're looking at that tonight, and it's sort of like, Becky, was it you that sent me that saying that says, don't wait for the storm to pass, learn how to dance in the rain?
You know, I don't know if I sent it to you, but I know I've, like, sent that around before, so it might have
been. Yeah, I love that. It's, like, so appropriate, you know, to what's going on. And when we talk about higher energies, think of the analogy of popcorn. It's like when you put, you know, when you're cooking popcorn, whether on the stove, in the microwave, the intensity is there, but it takes time for it to reach the object, you know, the objective, which is the corn. And all of a sudden, when it starts to pop, you're going to hear like pop, pop, you know, it's sporadic. But when it really gets turned up, man, that thing is just going. So, technically speaking, when you're manifesting something, the more intensity that's wrapped around it, the more focus that's wrapped around it, the emotional impact usually means a time indication of how long it's going to take. For instance, let's say you want a boiled egg. You can, you know, get the pan, put the water in, put the egg in. But, honey, if you don't turn up the heat on that thing, it'll sit there until it rots. It will never boil and never become a boiled egg. So there are certain equations, I think, that have to be considered in something. On the other hand, it's like some things happen out of the blue. You know, the anomalies. Where do they come from? Well, the thing about it is we're opening our consciousness to the point where we're starting to investigate certain things. And as we as a species, as humans grow, we'll get those answers too. Right now, I personally don't have the answer. Do you?
No.
No, we don't. Because even though I don't believe this is a random universe, it's, to me, in the way I feel about it, the way I conceptualize it, is that it's a very orderly universe. Everything is exactly as it should be. Even though the circumstances, whether they're personal or, you know, worldwide, it doesn't seem like that sometimes. It seems like actually the opposite is happening. But by the same token, I still feel, you know, as Einstein, you know, said, God does not play dice with the universe. And a lot of people have asked me, well, I really tried and I've done this, and why does the same thing keep happening? Sometimes when we find ourselves in repetitive patterns, it's a way of diluting the energies. The analogy of riding the roller coaster. It's like when you first get on that roller coaster and you're, you know, I know the first time I ever got on a roller coaster, I screamed till I, you know, had no voice. I was petrified. I felt everything, the ups, the downs, the twirls. One time I went with my youngest son on this ride at Astral World, and I was like plastered up against the seat. My elbow was in his throat, and he's going like, Bob, you're choking me. I'm like, I don't care. I want to off this ride. So, but as you ride that thing, you become a little bit more desensitized to the emotional impact that it has on you, whether it's physically, emotionally, or both, you know. And so that's, I think, the bottom line objective when we find repetitive patterns, whether in relationships or whatever, in certain areas of our lives. It's just nature's way of saying, okay, let's go around this mountain, only this time, you know, like the last time you tripped, let's see if you could just keep walking, you know. And then it may happen again, and okay, remember the last time before this you tripped and then you walked? I want you to run. And maybe by the fifth time, the mountain is gone. You just wore it all down, you know. That's the idea behind, I think, you know, the repetitive patterns. Is that we are creating something, we want change, but we're still creating it at a certain level. And if it comes back again, but it doesn't come back as intense, then you know you're getting somewhere. You know that, yeah, it's sort of like, you know, you may be in a relationship, the first heartbreak, devastating, you know, throw myself off the building kind of thing. But after a go around or two, it's like, you know, that's okay. You know, then I know that I want someone who wants to be with me and is not divided or whatever the case may be. So that's why we do this repetitive thing. And emotions, once again, like I said, are barometers. They give us, they're like the little guidepost. They tell us where we're at in a process. Now, we could be in a situation that evokes a lot of anger. When something evokes that intensity, that heat, it's usually, once again, an indicator of time that this thing is about to be resolved one way or the other. See? And the level of it or the frequency of it will also tell us a lot about ourselves. Because if something really gets to you and you want immediate, how would you say, resolution to it, for instance, I know that I signed up with recently with a satellite company, and they wanted to take my credit card to charge me $10 so I can do the identity verification, you know, that kind of thing. I had a feeling, after all was said and done, that I needed to check my account. And when I did, I was charged three times, $30. Well, for whatever reason, I had an immediate gut anger reaction. And I called the company back, and I wanted my money back right on my books, right back at that time. But, you know, the thing is that has to go through a process. When all was said and done, there was a three-day turnaround. Because in my mind, the way it was set up is, no, this is wrong. It's going to get righted, and it's going to happen, you know. Other things in life, you may take a little bit more of a, you know, backseat approach. Okay, I want this to happen, but then I got this other thing going, and then I got this other thing going, so, well, if it happens, it happens. And it kind of keeps rocking on, you see. And I think that's where the intensity comes in. Now, with saying that, when all is said and done, you know you've really gotten somewhere when at the end of the day, you don't have any emotion attached to it. It's when you have the deepest abiding knowing that is a total integral part of you that just knows that you know that you know. And that's where I want to get. That's what I'm aspiring to go. You know, it's not to say that I don't want to have another emotion. That's not to imply that. It's just to say that I want that wisdom. I want that clarity. I want that understanding. I want that knowing. This is it. I know it. And, you know, don't put any more thought in it. It's sort of like, if you notice, biblically speaking, when Jesus prayed, he didn't ask for anything. He thanked the Father. That was his knowing. That it's already done. He knew it, you know. It was just the act of speaking the word. And that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Wow.
Well, I don't know if it's such a wow factor, but, you know, it's like...
It throws me into ponder.
Yeah, I do make people ponder. I have that. I'm funny that way. So any side thoughts, Becky, on this?
Well, I mean, just like what were you saying? You were back when you were like talking about going around the same mountain and having to go up the same mountain, and you know how people will come and they will ask questions of why do I continue to do this over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's true. They put out that vibration without knowing that they're doing it exactly of, is this ever going to happen? Am I ever going to do this? Why can't this ever happen? Like, they may have the goal in mind. They may
mm-hmm.
say, hey, I really want this to happen, but they are. It's like they're wrapping that negativity with the positive. You know, they're trying to wrap it around it. Like, here, no, let me show you the way. And it's like, next thing you know, it's like, well, I'm going to throw an obstacle here, and what about that one there? Are you getting it yet? I'm going to throw another one there. You know, it's like they're constantly doing that, and that kind of
yeah, that self-talk.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
so.
Yeah, and that's a good point, because really, when you put those vibrations and put them in that cosmic soup, what you're actually doing is diluting. You're diluting the energy. It's like if you're making eggs, you know, it's like throwing peanut butter in there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can get to a certain level that says, well, I am manifesting and I'm seeing it. You know, I'm seeing it happen. But it's not quite the way I thought, you know. Well, it's sort of like this. You see, I think everything sort of has like this matrix to it. It's like we're all on the same vibration because we're all human. We all have the human being vibration. But yet, we're all individual creative expressions of the human experience. And because of that, they're going to differ. And the way our life gets, you know, unfolds, so to speak, is going to be very different from, let's say, your next-door neighbor or other family members. Two people can grow up in the same household, they have the same parents, they have the same basic experience, but yet, later on in life, if you talk to them, one will say something that's almost diametrically opposed to the other. Why is that? Did the circumstances change? Well, let's say, for argument's sake, they did not. Let's just say that, you know, maybe... You know, a lot of times maybe a child is being abused or something. But just for an analogy purpose, let's just say that, no, nothing like that ever occurred. They were just raised normal. You know, everything went according to the way it was supposed to, but they have different concepts. The reason why is their own perception. They're looking at life through their own little world called their eyes and their senses and their experiences, and they're processing them, and those processes are all vibrational, every bit of it. And they're all on certain frequencies, you know, everything is going. So you can have the same experience, so to speak, but you're going to ingest it very differently sometimes from someone else, you know. And I think we can see that every day. You know, we can see it like in, you know, like for instance, let's say I have an ice cream cone and it fell on the floor, you know. Well, maybe I'm on a diet or something. I really didn't need it. I could look at that as a blessing or a sign that says you really don't need this. Or, you know, I could look at it in another way and says, oh, there I go, wasting money again. You know what I'm saying? It all depends on the attitude and how you look at things. So, you know, I think that it's interesting. And let's say you're manifesting stuff and you know you're manifesting it, but you're not quite, how would you say, outforming what you had in mind. Well, if you bake the cake and you put the same ingredients in this cake, but what mold are you going to pour it into? Well, let's say it's Valentine's Day and you want to symbolize the expression of love, so you pour it into a heart mold. And then you get another pan, and it's a round mold. Even though it may look different, the ingredients are still there. And that's energy. Energy cannot change. Doesn't change. It is what it is. How we form it, how we outmold it, so to speak, is that's what makes it what it is. Hi, this is Rita and Becky. Who do we have the pleasure of being with this evening?
Hi, my name is Dorothy. Thank you for taking my call. How are you guys today?
We're just fantabulous, Dorothy. How are you?
Good.
How can we help you?
My question is, my husband and I own a business. together, and I was just wondering what you see in the near future for it. We're struggling a little bit, and
mm-hmm.
I'd like to know what you see.
Okay, Becky, what are you getting on this time?
Pardon me?
Well, I definitely feel a little bit of swaying back and forth with it. What kind of business is it? I don't know.
Is it a seasonal
right
business?
Pardon me?
Is it a seasonal business?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay. Because I almost feel as if, like, sometimes something around the seasons, it goes a little bit better than others.
You know, I was going to say the same thing, but it feels like you're going to start to kind of, I guess, like, pull out of it a little bit around June, around summer.
Oh, good. Good,
That's where I'm getting the seasons with it. You know, it feels like pulling it out around summertime, but it doesn't feel like it's going to stay in one spot. It feels like you're going to experience a little bit of a dip up, a dip down, a dip up. It would appear like it is seasonal in a sense, the way that I'm feeling it too, so
mm-hmm.
I can understand where you're coming from. But I feel like it's going to be okay. I definitely feel that. I feel like you need to prepare for a lot of, I guess, like swaying back and forth, up and down a little bit. But it feels like there's going to be kind of like a little bit more of an increase for you in June.
Okay, good, good.
Now, I don't feel that it's going to stabilize until later this year, though. I'm talking, it's not
yes.
that it doesn't mean it's going to keep going down, down, down. It's going to
right.
have those fluctuations. But
okay,
I do feel
yeah.
that stabilization is going to occur later on down the road, like maybe after the summer, you know.
Okay.
But the fluctuation
like,
won't be
August,
as bad.
September.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm feeling. And by the holiday season, you'll be in full swing.
Oh, wonderful.
You're going to have a very good holiday season, Dorothy.
Thank you. I want to go visit my daughter.
Are you around
Vegas.
Water by any chance?
No, we're not.
You're going to be, I see we're around water. There's
Ooh.
A connection with water with you, so
I mean,
in a good way.
Good. In short term or long term?
Well, initially it's going to be short term, and then it may turn into long term.
Okay.
Because I have a feeling that down the road, maybe in a couple of years, you're going to be doing some kind of relocation. And
all
it could
right.
be like, you know, like I know we're in Texas, and a lot
uh-huh.
of times we get what we call our winter Texans. They're from the north, but they come here for the winter, you know?
Right, right.
And so it almost has something like that feel to it.
Uh-huh, like
and
retirement.
I feel like for some reason you may be pulled towards the Florida area.
All
but
right.
The northern part for some reason, not the lower part, the northern
okay.
part. Mm-hmm.
All
so,
right.
Well, thank you, Dorothy.
Oh, thank you so much. God bless.
You have a great evening, hon.
Thanks. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. In any event, you know, the thing about it is that we have to look at what we're creating and when it outforms and this and that. And, you know, I don't like to get too bogged down in what I would call the conscious creation of something because you'll blow your mind, basically.
Yes.
It's like there has to be that's where I think the knowing comes in. And I just utter a simple phrase that says, no matter what, you know, God's got my back. I'm good. I'm okay. And then go on with whatever it is I'm going to go on with. You know what I'm saying? But I think that there are times in our lives that we get to the point where we start questioning things, which I do think is a natural process. You know, we start to question everything. Things happen, we don't know why, we don't understand them, we try to analyze them, nothing makes sense. And so we go on this path, so to speak. Hi, this is Rita and Becky. Welcome
Hi.
In.
Hi, this is Tony.
Well, good evening, Tony.
Good evening. I just, I don't know, I just really don't have any, there are many questions I have, but maybe you can pick up something without me having to ask you 20 questions or something. I have so many questions, but maybe there's just something that you see around me more than something else that is not.
Well, I could tell you what I'm picking up, but I'm going to let Becky tell you what she's picking
okay.
up first. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Well, the first thing that I'm picking up, I feel like there's a little bit of anxiety and a little bit of worry deep down, and it feels kind of like, I feel like it's associated maybe like around relationship. Does that
mm-hmm.
ring to you?
Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What exactly are you wanting to know with the relationship? Because it feels like that it's almost like a, I don't know if it's an uncertainty. It feels like my stomach wants to turn. I feel like, you know, my heart's heavy. What are you wanting to know about it?
When someone's going to come into my life, or I guess that kind of situation.
You haven't let go
no
of
one
the
really...
old one yet.
Oh, okay.
You haven't let go of the old one yet. And
yeah,
what I'm picking up on you is more like education, job, career, financial stability.
Okay, yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, like when you say, what am I going to do with the rest of my life?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're looking
yeah.
for your niche. You're looking for your place in the sun, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But as far as a relationship is concerned, now, I don't feel you've had one for a while. I may be wrong, but I don't feel like you've been actively involved in a serious relationship for a while.
That's correct.
I also feel, too, that because of the last relationship or the last seriously relationship that you were in, I get a sense like you kind of pulled back a little bit and kind of kept yourself more focused on you as opposed to someone else. And I think now the tide is starting to turn a little bit to where you're saying, okay, I think I'm ready, correct?
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. You will be meeting someone this year. I feel like I feel warm. I feel weather warm. That kind of always tells me when, you know, the timing is around. And for some reason, I still feel educational. Are you thinking about taking something further or doing something extra or something to that effect?
That's correct, with something with art and education and world peace organization.
Okay, because I feel like the person that you're going to connect with has something to do with, you know, sometimes, you know, when I say education, it could be like a doctor's degree, or it could be just a seminar, you know what I'm saying? But you're
right.
learning, you're in that environment.
Right.
That's the general energy.
Right.
And that's where I feel you're going to meet this person. And I also feel, too, that you will be eventually traveling overseas, hon.
Okay, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, so I hope that helps.
Yeah, yes, it does. That does. Okay. All right, thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Tony. You have a wonderful evening, hon.
Oh, thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. But, yeah, so now I'm trying to think, what shall I manifest this week? But what is it, you know, I could tell you how my mind goes. It's like I think of all the people that, you know, really made me mad. I'm like, ooh.
Funny.
Apparently I'm not all that and a spiritual bag of chips yet. But I'm getting there. You know, I think that, you know, years ago I remember Carolyn Mace had mentioned something called spiritual madness. Been there, done that.
Oh, how cute.
Oh, see
yeah,
how sweet you are, Bex.
I tend to manifest, like, all these changes. Like, it seems like every week I have new changes I want to make. And I have it, like, you know, on Monday here I am, and I'm like, okay, this is it. This is when I'm going to start my diet. And this is when I'm going to start this. And I'm going to start to do so many other things. And it's like I throw that negativity in there later that I'm like, oh, I'm tired. Or
I know.
You know,
now
I
gave it up. I don't. You know, I love myself the way I am. Hi, you're with Becky and Rita tonight. Who do we
Hi.
Have the pleasure of speaking with?
Hi, this is Pat.
Hello, Pat. How are you this evening?
I'm good, thanks.
Hi, Pat.
Nice to talk to you both. I have to also say I'm new to this radio station. The gentleman that answers the phone is just always so pleasant.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
we're new to it, too.
I'm sorry?
Just recently kind of stumbled upon it for synchronicity, so we're all kind of in this together.
Oh, me. It's great. Great program. Great people. Rita, I was totally relating to what you were talking about as far as depression, getting stuck in it, and it made sense. I had not thought of this, but about it getting more intense. I'm literally right there, and at the same time, you know, every day when I walk my dog, doing EFT and prayers and trying to take, you know, kind of counteract all this negative stuff. And then at the same time wondering, why is it still going mm-hmm. on? Why am I still struggling with depression? I feel like I'm at a point where I really have a chance to have a new life. I'm 55, but I'm still struggling.
Well, I'm 57, and let me tell you something, Pat. I was in a deep depression for 10 years, literally 10 years. I lost my home. I lost jobs. I lost everything. And you know, I didn't want to go to the doctor because I didn't want a bunch of pills forced down my throat.
Right.
And I decided, oh, I'm going to do this by myself. Okay, granted, it took a little longer, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But you do come through it. You do. And it was a process. It wasn't, you know, hello, mine took 10 years. Mine was the ordeal. But I'm telling you, when these things kind of come up at you, there's going to come a point, Pat, where you'll get sick and tired of being sick and tired.
Mm-hmm.
It's when you have that true apathy, that's where you're in kind of the danger zone. But when you start thinking about yourself, and, you know, whatever it was that put you in that depression, it doesn't have to be one thing. It could be a complex situation, a number of things that just maybe happened within a, you know, a short range of time that just kind of crowded in on you. It happens. You know, I mean, let's face it, there's over 20 million people in you know, this country alone that are depressed at any given moment.
Yeah.
And so because of that, you know, and I can tell you from personal experience that I tried everything. You know, I tried everything. There were times when I would sit in the middle of my bed and think all day on how I was going to kill myself, because to me that was the only means of control I had. Taking my life was the only thing I had under control.
Yeah.
You know, does that ring true
it
to
does.
You?
It does. I mean, at one point I saw that, well, this is nothing but the next thing to try. I've tried 1,000 things. I've been very brave, and in a way this is almost a brave thing too. Fortunately, you know, I have enough sense at this point in my life to say you can't do that. But there are days when I have the sense of...
You see, the difference is, though, now, and it doesn't mean that we never go back into that place again. We don't go as deep, I find. All of a sudden, something clicks. And I tell you, you got to discipline the mind. You really do.
Yeah.
Because, and even though it's like, you know, taking that positive and laying it on that rotten egg, so to speak, that negative stuff, it's like taking that rotten egg and looking at it and saying, now, how can I make you useful? Okay, I'm going to put you in a plant and maybe you'll become compost. You know, it's like it's trying to tweak your mind to start thinking a little bit differently. You know, let's face it, we're not going to wake up one morning and say, oh, the world is wonderful and beautiful, and my life is crud. It's like, that's usually what happens. But it's, and, you know, everybody talks about gratitude and stuff. And believe me when I tell you, I'm an extremely grateful person on many levels, you know. But that don't work either. Because when you get that far down, nothing works.
Yeah.
Nothing
works. It's crazy.
But your mind is still working. You're still giving yourself feedback. You're still talking to yourself. And no matter what you do or how you do it or where you go, you know what, Pat? You got to take yourself with you. You might as well make peace with yourself first.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever it is that's got you in this place, think of it in the long term. At the end of the day, and I used to do this exercise, and I know it sounds sick, but hey, I don't care anymore. I used to lay in bed. And I thought, what if this was my last day on earth? And what if all this stuff that is going on right now happened 20 years ago? And I've been in this state for 20 years. Was it worth it? It's like I'd almost project myself into the future.
Mm-hmm,
and then it would help me to kind of see the forest for the trees, to basically say, no, it wasn't worth it. I need to get over this, and I don't know how, but I'm going to open myself up to opportunity. And when I said that to myself, a friend of mine had recommended a church to me, which I go to in Spring, Texas. I haven't been there in a while, but I love their philosophy, and it's the science of mind. And when I walked in there, I felt literally like I stepped into heaven, because it was that opportunity. So once I made up my mind that I needed help, that I wasn't going to do it by myself, and I didn't want a bunch of pills thrown down my throat,
right.
I got into a group of people that, till this day, I cherish them. They're precious. I mean, life is precious on every level, but these are more precious, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But you understand what I'm saying, Pat?
You said a lot of things that helped me and totally relate. Just today, I've been cutting my medication way down, and today I was wondering, I wonder, should I go back on this? Do I really need antidepressants? And I said, no, just wait.
Well, let me tell you something. I had a friend that was a psychologist, and she was actually on antidepressants, and she, you know, got taken off of them. And I don't know what kind she was on, but I know when she got off of them, she was having horrible nightmares, but that too passes. So
right.
I cannot, you know, medically recommend, what I would recommend is following the appropriate medical guidelines procedure for getting yourself, you know, maybe some help psychologically at the same time while weaning off.
Oh, I'm doing
things.
That. Yeah, I'm doing that.
Yeah. Because the desire is there. See, I want you to think of this as already accomplished. You're just in the process of, how would you say, living out the reality of it.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I want you to picture yourself as, what does it mean to me to be a happier individual, or an individual that takes things in stride, or you fill in the blanks. It's sort of like, what is a contract? But words on paper, but, you know, originally that paper was a clean sheet. And think of yourself as a clean slate. And you write your history. You start writing it in your head. And the things that will help you along this path will start coming into your existence and give you the opportunity to assist you. The main thing you need to know is that you are definitely not alone. In all those years, at some point, I realized that I could, even though I didn't want to burden family and friends and this and that, I knew I wasn't alone. Somehow, I always knew that. And I want you to know that, too. This is not a solitary fight. The only argument you may have is in your own head right now.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I really appreciate hearing what you have to say. It's a nice mix of practicality and you know, facts that you do have to, you know, discipline your mind, and it's helpful.
Yeah. You don't want to repress those feelings. You know, you don't want to stifle them. You have to have an outlet for them. And I eventually learned how to quilt and sew and paint. I didn't realize what a true artist I was. But it was my way of releasing that energy. And that's, you know, some people exercise till, you know, they have a six-pack, but that's just so not my style. But but I found, like, expression. I mean, I can remember when I took painting up, I'd have paintings, you know, like Van Gogh went through his blue period. I went through my black period. I used to call it night. So, but it got that energy out, because really, you know what's going on with you, Pat, on an energetic level? You're energetically constipated. You're stuck. And you need to start releasing that. Let it go, let it go, let it go. And how you find that expression of letting it go, you know, that's where the control, that's where the free will comes in. It's up to you. Now, I'm not suggesting you go on a murderous rampage, but you can, you know, how can I better take this energy and more fully express that divine part in me? See, does that make a little bit more sense to you?
It does. It does. I actually started a community dance mainly for that purpose, mainly for myself to dance out a lot of the feelings.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
I wish you
and
the
I'm,
best.
I'm an artist.
Yeah, I
I'm
wish
an,
you the very
an
best, and I know.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I know that you're going to come through, sweetheart. Just
thank
be kind
you
to yourself during the process,
okay.
Because
right.
it, you know it'll change. It'll change.
Thanks. Bless you
you're
both.
You're quite welcome.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you for sharing with us tonight.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, hon.
Bye.
I don't know about you, Becky. You're always so bubbly and happy. What's up with that?
Who, me?
Yeah, you.
I don't
How
know.
Do you keep yourself, you know, together, so to speak?
It's having a major sense of humor. It's like I laugh at everything. You know, I've been through the roughest of rough, and I just continue to kind of do it with a smile, and I just laugh at myself. You know, it's like I find that it's easier to kind of find the humor in things, you know?
Mm-hmm,
so.
Absolutely. Hi, this is Becky and Rita. Who did we have the pleasure of speaking with tonight?
Hi, Rita. This is Ken from Cleveland, Ohio. Hi, Becky.
Hi.
And this is
Hi.
Ken?
Yes, Ken.
Ken, hi. How are you this evening?
I'm good. I'm just coming through a couple of weird, really strange years. And just wondering what you guys pick up about that.
How old are you, Ken, if you don't mind me asking?
42.
Okay. Becky, what are you getting on this?
Let me see here. Well,
Ken, she's great. She's gazing into her crystal balls right now.
Okay.
All of them. well, what I pick up, you said that you're 42 right now. I still feel like you have a few more years of a lot of, I guess, it's almost like your awakening is what's going to be happening with you. As far as, like, what you've been through, I'm not quite sure. I'm not picking that up exactly just yet. But I know that you have more to come, not in the sense of as bad as it's been, but it just feels like you have, like, a lot of new learning and growing that's going to be happening. I just feel like it's almost like an awakening that's happening.
Huh.
Have you been through a separation with someone?
Well, I went through a divorce years ago, but I'm...
you're over that?
Yeah, I guess there was another recent separation, too, a couple years ago.
Because I'm feeling this a little bit more recent. But it's like you're not finding what you're looking for in relationships. It's like they're empty, correct?
I mean, I wouldn't quite say empty, but I could understand how you'd get that feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm very happy with myself. I don't know how, you know, but yeah, other people are just where they're at.
Right.
Not willing
you know,
to
it
settle.
Seems like it's a
it's
tough time on a lot of people right now.
Yeah. Well, what I get with this, I may be losing you people because I think my battery is going down. So if
no,
I see Becky, you're going to have to carry the rest of the show. but in any event, I I believe, like Becky said, she is, how would you say, correct in her assumption that you're still, like, almost in the middle of it. It is a process. And I think, Becky, do you feel another couple of more years?
I do. I feel like he's got a few more years left of... kind of like going through this, and I think we just lost Rita.
Okay.
are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, there you are. Okay, I thought we lost you for a minute. I still feel like you have definitely a couple more years of, it's like learning and growing, but I feel like it feels like it's not in the sense of going through anything bad. It just feels like new discoveries. Like you say that you're happy and you're secure about who you are and where you're at and stuff like that. I agree with that too. But it's almost as if like, ooh, look over there. I didn't know that was there. You know what I mean? And it's like, oh wow, look at this. Like I just feel like you have a couple more years of growing with this.
Yeah, but
it's
a couple
really
more years I think are going to be in direct relationship to the fact that you have some latent talent. Kenneth, and I think you're going to find an expression for those talents. For some reason,
do you write,
I feel like...
Kenneth?
Go ahead.
Do you write, Kenneth? Do you write stuff or anything?
I feel
not
musically.
Really, but I have a little... I found some unusual outlets for some creative talents through just life experience.
Well, there you
but
go.
But nothing that regular people would really relate to. Kind of just... meeting life challenges creatively.
There you go. Yeah.
You know?
Now, you keep putting that out there, that's what you're going to be getting back. So if that's not something that you would rather not, experience, you might want to change the way you look at that. That's up to you. But if it's okay with you, if it's not an issue, and this is the way you want to create it, like in other words, you're talking about challenges, the universe will provide definitely some challenges to come your way.
Well, and sometimes creative solutions bring the most out of a situation. You know, I don't want to just get through things. I want to wring them out for all they're worth, you know? I mean, that's just how I am.
Exactly.
I have a major lawsuit. Do you guys, I'm just about ready to file it. The lawyers are almost ready writing it. Do you guys pick up anything on that?
What do you pick up? I know what I pick up, Becky. What you picking up, girl?
Well, I feel like he's going to be able to, I feel like he's going to be able to get what he's wanting out of that. I don't feel a loss with it. I feel a win.
I don't know if it's a win-lose situation, but I definitely feel like you're going to come through with this. You know, in other words, it's going to swing more in your favor.
Yeah, is this one going to be a short one or a long one?
I say it's going to be over a course of maybe 3 months or so is what I'm feeling. And that could be just maybe delays at some point. But I think over the next few months it'll be resolved, probably by August, September.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. Wow, that's really neat.
I have to say this again. I don't know why. I don't know what it is, but I feel like you're going to be writing. I actually feel like you're going to be, and it feels like it might be even like in a few years or so, but I feel like you're going to be writing down, it's almost as if like writing a maybe even like a book, putting together something like that, because it feels like you're going to want to express experiences and like how to, the way you put it, it's like the way you take on things. I feel like in a sense of expressing that, but I feel like putting it into like possibly a book. Have you thought about that?
Well, yeah. I mean, some people... I tell them about, like, this lawsuit I'm filing, and, I mean, it's really crazy, crazy stuff. I mean, you could write it, you could make a TV, you could make a short movie about it anyway, you know? I mean, it's pretty wild. And I've picked up on it was kind of I was worried, I thought it was my karma, but I'm pretty sure it was just my dharma. I think it was just a life, I took on something to help somebody, you know, but I mean, it's like 20 years of, it was a 20 year job, you know, it's organized crime and all kinds of stuff. It's pretty lively tale, you know?
Oh, please. That was one of the glory side of New York. You're talking to me about organized crime.
What's that?
I said I was born on the Lower East Side of New York.
Right.
You know,
yeah,
I'm
suing them all in federal court and dragging them to the FBI and all kinds. You know, it's a pretty crazy affair. But and a lot of people would, you know, I'm okay, you know, you can kill me.
Oh, wait a minute. We got Henry Hill on the line.
What's that?
We have Henry Hill on the line.
Henry Hill. Okay.
I'm only teasing you.
It's just what life, you know, what my life had in store, that's all. At least it's not dull, you know?
Exactly.
You know, I'm not good with dull.
No.
So, I'm better with challenges.
Yeah,
but
and I
Becky,
think that
do you think
will...
this thing will settle quickly, too? Because 3 months is really quickly for this.
I don't feel... really quickly, but I think it will be settled in what I consider a timely manner. I don't feel like it's going to like keep dragging. There may be a glitch, one slight glitch, but then after that I see smooth sailing for that. I'm not sensing any hang-ups after that. And the glitch may just be maybe somebody doesn't show up or they, you know, reschedule the court date. It's something very simple.
Okay.
Yeah, but when you can, you let us know how you're doing.
I'll do that.
Thank you so much for calling tonight.
Thanks,
Henry,
for the help.
You're
and, you know, that was really nice kindness for that last caller. I applaud your compassion and empathy for the last with the last caller's position. I mean, we all go through tough times, you know.
We're all in this together.
I popped you on that one.
You know, we're all in this together. Take care now.
Take care. Bye bye.
Bye bye. You know, and you know, the fact is that underneath everything, underneath the skin, we are all in this together. When it's like we're all children on this planet, in a sense, and we get all caught up in our own little melodramas, but the bottom line is, energetically, we're all connected. I mean,
yes.
You know, on a disgusting level, we're sloughing off dead skin, I don't know how many rates per second, and we're inhaling each other's dead skin. Now, if that's not a connection, I don't know what is.
That's
so much for my loving, right, and esoteric teaching tonight. I'm kind of like I tell it like it is, okay? Thank you very much. If nothing else, I hope we've entertained you. But, you know, going back to what you were saying, Becky, I mean, you said that you had gone through pretty tough times yourself. And like to share with, you know, our listeners out there, you know, you don't need anybody's permission. You just go right ahead.
Well, I've had to, well, a good example is, you know, I've had to raise my daughters on my own for about a decade, and one of my children is disabled. And, you know, with everything that we've been through, just as struggling and everything else, it's like you kind of have to have a sense of humor with certain things. And you got to kind of like, instead of looking at everything at the perspective of, woe is me, you know, this is what I have to deal with. It's like I look at everything in a sense of, okay, what are we learning today and how are we going to do it and what's the blessing? And, you know, it's like you just kind of go through it. You don't look at it as, if you go through and you look at things as like, I have to do this. I can't believe, look at me, you know, woe is me. You know, I don't ever look at it as like being victimized. I look at it more of like, wow, what a blessing. How happy am I, how lucky am I that I get to learn and I get to grow and,
disgusting. No, seriously.
It is.
Did you come to this attitude, this perception on your life, was it a long process? I mean, or did something just click inside of you and says, I'm tired of this?
It took me a while, and it's not through levels, but it's gotten there.
Good. Well, hi, this is Becky and Rita. Who do we have the pleasure of being with tonight? Okay, that was our fabulous Donald at the station saying that we have to wrap it up. So with that in mind, I'm going to leave you with the concept of this. It's like we said in the beginning, don't wait for the storm to pass. Just learn how to dance in the rain because, you know, until we get further on in our consciousness, we haven't figured out how to recapture time. So until then, enjoy each moment. Every breath you take is precious. Everyone around you is precious, whether you think so or not. They really are. And so we won't be back until the first week in May. And so please look for us at that time. And Becky, I hope you'll be back because I just have a blast with you, dear.
I will. I will. I enjoy it. Thank you.
All right, then. Everybody, you have a wonderful week, and we'll see you in about, 2 weeks or so. So take care and bless all of you. Bye-bye now.